Maybe these taken could be taken out. A profit, for sure, if nothing else went right. But what were we doing? The lightning illuminated my companions. Nearest me were Tracker and Toadkiller Dog. Tracker seemed bored, but Toadkiller Dog was as alert as I had seen him. He was sitting up, watching the display. The only time I ever saw him not on his belly was at mealtime. His tongue was out. He panted. Had he been human, I would have said he was grinning. The second taken tried to impress the mantas with his power. He was too immensely outnumbered, and below, Darling was moving. That second taken suddenly entered her null. Down he went. The manta swarm pursued. Both would survive landing, but then they would be afoot at the heart of the plain, which tonight had taken a stand. Their chances of walking out looked grim. The Wind Whale was up a couple thousand feet now, moving northeast, gaining speed. How far to the edge of the plain nearest Rust? 200 miles. Fine. We might make it before dawn. But what about the last 30 miles, beyond the plain? Tracker started singing. His voice was soft at first. His song was old. Soldiers of the North Countries had sung it for generations. It was a dirge, a song before death sung in memory of those about to die. I heard it in Forsberg, sung on both sides. Another voice took it up, then another and another. Perhaps 15 men knew it, of 40 or so. The Wind Whale glided northward. Far, far below, the Plain of Fear slid away, utterly invisible. I began to sweat, though the upper air was cold. Chapter 17. Rust. My first false assumption was that the Limper would be home when we called. Darling's maneuver against the Taken obviated that. I should have recalled that the Taken touch one another over long distances, mind to mind. Limper and Benefice passed nearby as we moved north. "Down!" Goblin squealed when we were 50 miles short of the edge of the plain. "Taken! Nobody move!" As always, old Croaker considered himself the exception to the rule. For the annals, of course. I crept nearer the side of our monster mount, peered out into the night. Way below, 2 shadows raced down our backtrack. Once they were past, I took a cussing from Elmo, the lieutenant, Goblin, One Eye, and anybody else who wanted a piece. I settled back beside Tracker. He just grinned and shrugged. He came ever more to life as action approached. My second false assumption was that the Wind Whale would drop us at the edge of the plain. I was up again as that drew near, ignoring naughty remarks directed my way. But the Wind Whale did not go down. It did not descend for many minutes yet. I began to babble sillinesses when I resumed my place by Tracker. He had his till now mysterious case open. It contained a small arsenal. He checked his weapons. One long-bladed knife did not please him. He began applying a whetstone. How many times had Raven done the same in the brief year he spent with the company? The whale's descent was sudden. Elmo and the lieutenant passed among us, telling us to get off in a hurry. Elmo told me,